IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A suicide driver set off a truck bomb at the gates of the U.S.-led coalition headquarters Sunday, killing about 20 people and wounding 63 in the deadliest attack here since Saddam Hussein's capture last month. The bombing came on the eve of a meeting between U.S. Administrator L. Paul Bremer and U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan to discuss Iraqi's future, including whether Iraq is safe enough for the world body to return. The attack was the first vehicle bombing inside the U.S.-controlled Green Zone along the west bank of the Tigris River, which insurgents have targeted in the past with mortar and rocket fire. The force of the blast from a bomb containing 1,000 pounds of explosive rattled windows more than a mile away. Northwest Airlines said Sunday that an executive and a company spokesman were not aware of the company's role in a secret government study when they denied that the airline gave away passenger information. Northwest acknowledged Saturday that it gave information to the federal government for an air security project after the September 11th terrorist attacks. The airline said it participated in the NASA program to help the government search for technology to improve aviation security. Northwest was the second airline to be identified as secretly passing travelers' records to the government. In September, JetBlue Airways said it turned over passenger records to a defense contractor. The company later apologized to its customers. If you run into trouble in San Francisco, look to a woman for help. Mayor Gavin Newsom named Assistant Police Chief Heather Fong as his pick for interim police chief Sunday, 2 days after he swore in Joanne Hayes White as the city's first woman fire chief. If the city's police commission confirms the 26-year veteran's appointment this week as expected, San Francisco will have the rare distinction of having women in the lead in its two key public safety departments. Newsom, who wants Fong considered for the permanent job, had vowed to bring new leadership to a department still reeling from a scandal over a 2002 street brawl in which three off-duty police officers were accused. More news after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 Save the Music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
Singing strengthens the immune system, according to research by scientists at the University in Frankfurt in Germany. The scientists tested the blood of people who sang in a professional choir in the city before and after a 60-minute rehearsal of Mozart's Requiem. They found that concentrations of immunoglobulin A and hydrocortisone increased significantly during the rehearsal. The researchers concluded singing not only strengthened the immune system, but also notably improved the performer's mood. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Murder is not anything I could ever commit, but there are a few individuals whose obituaries I could read without feeling terribly sad. I must admit, however, that one thing does induce murderous thoughts in my otherwise gentle head: car alarms. Like a demon screeching from the deepest reaches of hell, these satanic devices whoop, beep, razz, whine, and irritate in the most intrusive way, shattering the civility of entire neighborhoods and jangling even the calmest of souls. They seem programmed specifically to go off in the wee hours of morning, rudely awakening families for blocks around in an act of urban harassment. Car alarms are sold in the name of theft protection, but that's a joke. An independent survey of 73 million insurance claims for robbery of vehicles reveals that cars with alarms, quote, show no overall reduction in theft losses. Why? Two reasons. First, nearly all of the whooping is due to false alarms caused by a passing motorcycle, a thump by a cat, or simply because the damn thing decides on its own to interrupt our peace and tranquility. They go off so often that most of us always assume it's a false alarm. An insurance company found that fewer than 1% of people would call the cops because of a blaring car alarm. Second, it's rare to hear an alarm when the car is actually being stolen because real thieves can easily deactivate the devices in only seconds. As one expert puts it, car alarms work about as well as fuzzy dice at deterring theft. Far from stopping crime, they often cause it, as irate neighbors go out in their jammies to puncture tires, sledgehammer hoods, and even shoot the offending vehicles. Plus, all of this is unnecessary, since there are engine immobilizers that can prevent nearly all auto thievery. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help kill screeching car alarms, call Transportation Alternatives, 212-629-8080.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah,
yes,
I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to
different...
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
This time we'll say bye to music. Say bye to the song we can sing. This time we'll say bye to music. Say bye to the song.
Good evening, Truth Seekers.
Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. And the email address during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. John Buchanan is running against George W. Bush in the New Hampshire primary next Tuesday, and he's going to join us in our second hour. And pointless though it may be, we will try to give you updates on the Iowa caucus throughout the program. I say pointless because you're probably following it. Also tonight we're going to take a look at Edwards and Kucinich. There seems to have been a deal made. And what was it that turned the corner for Kerry in Iowa? Which really doesn't mean that much, not to denigrate anybody who is picking up support to run November 2nd, against this murderous Nazi that's in the White House. I would almost consider Lieberman. No, take it back. A little hesitant there at the program because I was looking at something I pulled off of Google earlier today, Martin Luther King's anti-Vietnam War speech. Also today on, I guess it was Marketplace on NPR tonight. I heard some of the excerpts from the speech that Dr. King gave in 1967, where he started to confront the inequalities and the rapacious nature of unrestricted capitalism, which really and truly is the main reason he was murdered by the United States government in 1968. He was murdered because his voice started to drift away from civil rights, who could ride where in what bus, who could sit at which lunch counter, and Dr. King began to address some of the same questions that Gandhi and Marx and other philosophers and social commentators had addressed over the courses of human history since the Industrial Revolution. And you do not talk, if you're a Martin King, with a following. You did not talk about the inequalities and destructive natures of capitalism and expect to live. He made a speech about war and peace. And I just want to quote a little bit of it here. Each time you hear the word Vietnam, put in the word Iraq. He said, I want to say one other challenge that we face is simply that we must find an alternative to war and bloodshed. Anyone who feels, and there are still a lot of people who feel that way, that war can solve the social problems facing mankind is sleeping through a great revolution. President Kennedy said on one occasion, mankind must put an end to war, or war will put an end to mankind. The world must hear this. I pray God that America will hear this before it's too late, because today we're fighting a war. I'm convinced that it's one of the most unjust wars that has ever been fought in the history of the world. Our involvement in the war has torn up the Geneva Accord. It has strengthened the military-industrial complex. It has strengthened the forces of reaction in our nation. It has put us against the self-determination of a vast majority of the Vietnamese people and put us in the position of protecting a corrupt regime that is stacked against the poor. It has played havoc with our domestic destinies. This day we are spending $500,000 to kill every Viet Cong soldier. Every time we kill one, we spend about $500,000, while we spend only $53 a year for every person characterized as poverty-stricken in the so-called poverty program. Not only that, it has put us in a position of appearing to the world as an arrogant nation. And here we are, 10,000 miles away from home, fighting for the so-called freedom of the Vietnamese people when we have not even put our own house in order. And we force young black men and young white men to fight and kill in brutal solidarity, yet when they come back home, they can hardly live on the same block together. The judgment of God is upon us today, and we could go right down the line and see that something must be done, and something must be done quickly. We have alienated ourselves from other nations, so we end up morally and politically isolated in the world. There is not a single major ally of the United States of America that would dare send a troop to Vietnam. And so the only friends that we have now are a few client nations like Taiwan, Thailand, South Korea, and a few others. This is where we are. Mankind must put an end to war, or war will put an end to mankind. That was in 1967, and it's real clear that we, in terms of our foreign policy and our leadership, we've learned nothing, absolutely nothing, in 37? How sad. Bush's trip to the moon and to Mars, first of all, we know it's nonsense. There's no funding for it. It's a diversionary tactic, yada, yada, yada. But Carolyn Kay at MakeThemAccountable.com quoted from the Sun Times and then added a couple other comments. Let me share this with you. As you know now, the Hubble Space Telescope is going to be allowed to degrade and eventually become useless. What a shame. Some of those pictures that we've seen, aren't they just astonishing? NASA now will change its focus to Bush's plans to send humans to the moon and Mars and beyond, officials said last Friday. So NASA has canceled all space shuttle servicing missions to the Hubble, which, by the way, as you know, has revolutionized the study of astronomy. With these striking images into deep space. When I say deep space, it's beyond your and my comprehension. Now, as Carolyn Kay adds at her website, the man on Mars announcement served at least two purposes. It made Bush look like a bold, far-thinking president, even though it's obvious he's not going to actually fund the program. The announcement is reality as far as these people are concerned. That's it. You get the announcement. Just like No Child Left Behind, just like whatever it is. You get the announcement, that's it, it stops. AIDS in Africa, funding, what was it, $5-6 billion, huh? How much of that has been provided to people dealing with AIDS in Africa? Nothing, not a dime. Remember last year? So the announcement is the reality. There will be no Bushonian move to return to the moon or send humans to Mars. It's just a joke. It's a laugh. But even more important, this announcement gives Bush the cover to dismantle the Hubble space program. And as Carolyn Kay writes, stopping Hubble is a gift to the religious fundamentalists. And you know why, don't you? We've talked about this on the program many times. Hubble has been showing us the furthest reaches of the universe. What we see from these incomprehensible distances is very old light. Light that these stars emitted billions of years ago. You know, I don't care how much of a religious fundamentalist some of these Christian freaks want to be. They can have at it, you know, flay yourself, nail yourself to crosses, do whatever you want to do. But you cannot deny certain aspects of Einsteinian physics. You simply can't. You can just live your life in utter medieval ignorance if you choose to. But light travels at 186,000 miles per second. And what we are seeing from these galaxies that are 10, 12, 14 billion light years away is we are seeing the past. Hubble is proving over and over and over and over again, as if it needed to be proved, that the universe is billions of years old, not the 5,000 calculated by these asinine fundamentalists. So, this is Bush's payoff to the jerkwaters, to these freaks, to the Robertsons and the Dobsons and the Falwells and their brain dead followers. We will shut down the Hubble because it's bringing too many challenging images into little Johnny and Susie fundamentalists' the range of vision. Oh, my God, what? I saw these pictures in Time magazine, Daddy. It says these are from galaxies from 14 billion years ago. But Reverend Brittle Goose says that the universe is only 5,000 years old and the Grand Canyon was built by the Great Flood. What's up, Daddy? Well, this will put a stop to that, won't it? Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? I haven't, so let me mention it. But let me go on to say how much I disrespect them. And it's one thing to hate somebody, hate anybody, but to disrespect them, right? Ugh. The Hubble. What a shame. What a shame. What a shame. It appears, according to CNN, I love the way, I was watching MSNBC earlier this evening, watching Oddball, or is it Hardball, with what's his name? And they've got a whole panel of media freaks there trying to, first of all, they're doing two things that are very irritating to me. They are treating the caucuses as though they were an election, which they are not. And secondly, this panel on MSNBC, led by Hardball's Chris Matthews, they're trying to select or put some importance on whoever, quote, wins, close quote, these caucuses tonight in Iowa. Kerry, by the way, seems to be the lead. So in the lead right now with 20% of the caucuses reporting. What the hell does that mean? But you see how quickly media bastardizes, pollutes, and destroys what these folks in Iowa are trying to do. Totally train wrecking what they're trying to do in Iowa. But this is what the whorish American media is all about, especially television. Have you ever, seriously, folks, have you ever seen a larger group of pimps and whores than when you watch television, television news, especially when it concerns any sort of election coverage or debate coverage? It's astonishing. I've never seen anything like it in my life. These people are the worst of the worst. Just awful. Howard Feynman and Chris Matthews, all these people, I don't care who they are. I don't care what network they work for. Because they, how they are presenting this, how they're spinning it, what they're saying about it, it is just, it's appalling. But CNN is reporting there's a deal been cut between John Edwards and Dennis Kucinich. Stick around, I'll tell you what it is in a moment.
Science alone. I tell you what, mathematically I'm happy.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Celebrating the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Listen as we reflect on his words.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream.
Yes.
It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. Yes. I have a dream that one day,
yes,
this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. King, for being the person you were and for what you stood for to make us the people we are today. Your words live on.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
I'm gonna leave the city. Got to get away.
24 past the hour. Now, according to CNN, John Edwards and Dennis Kucinich have struck a deal to support each other, just in case one or the other of them fail to draw the minimum support needed to compete in tonight's caucuses. CNN is reporting this according to an Edwards campaign source. The decision, of course, would give Edwards a boost in these caucuses. And again, the caucuses Who has won both the Iowa caucus and the New Hampshire primary and went on the presidency? I think one president, Jimmy Carter. That's about it. So, in fact, these caucuses are about as important to the final selection of the man who's going to whip George Bush's ass as my opinion is. In other words, doesn't mean a thing. But again, media are treating this as though this, I mean, I get the feeling it's election night, don't you? At least on the cable alphabet networks. I don't know what's going on the ABC, CBS, or NBC. MSNBC here has a caucus clock running. God, I like to toss a grenade at these people. Well, at least at my television. I don't mean, oh, God, here we go. Now we'll probably be invaded before the program's over, Kathy, with the gendarmes guy. Did you threaten to throw hand grenades at NBC? No. Talking about my own television here. Anyway, an Iowa poll that was published over the weekend, you all know this, I mean, it's more and more obvious tonight, shows Edwards in a tight race with the other three front runners. That same poll has Kucinich drawing the support of just 3% of likely caucus attendees. Edwards said, quote, both of us believe in a lot of the same things and we like each other very much, but both of us also recognize at the end of the day, caucus goers will have to make their own decisions about this, whatever that means. Now, according to CNN, Edwards and Kucinich have agreed that in any Iowa precinct where either candidate fails to garner the minimum needed to survive the first round, each individual candidate's supporters are urged then to line up for the other candidate. That's according to a Kucinich spokesman. Now, it's interesting that these two candidates have reached this sort of an agreement because on one of the basic issues here, the war in Iraq, Kucinich and Edwards differ. Edwards voted to authorize the use of military force. Kucinich opposed it. But according to reports, these two men have established some sort of a friendship during the campaign. That's according to sources in both campaigns. And again, I'm just reporting this from CNN. I don't have a clue. Apparently, this deal was finalized yesterday, and Edwards and Kucinich spoke to each other about the arrangement several days ago. That's according to Edwards' campaign sources. Now, one other thing. Regarding Wesley Clark, there is a couple of articles circulating around the internet right now that have come from Clark's own position. You know, Wesley Clark is a huge supporter of the School of the Americas. And this comes from the Boston Globe, and it's being picked up and sent around the internet now. He says there's one military institution he vigorously defends. That's according to the Boston Globe on Saturday. And that is the controversial whorehouse and murder incorporated institute known as the U.S. Army School of the Americas down here in South Georgia. Clark never headed the school, but he had dealings with it when he led the U.S. Southern Command in 1996 and 1997. He delivered a graduation speech there in 1996. He's praised the place, this abattoir, this place that trains people to go home to their own countries and commit murder and assassination. He has praised it in front of Congress. I don't know if this will have any effect on your decision to continue to back Wesley Clark or not, but I thought I should mention it. It was in the Boston Globe on Saturday.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A lot of tiny plants in the ocean appear to be growing more slowly as the oceans get warmer. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Plants use carbon dioxide during photosynthesis, but small plants at sea are not using as much carbon dioxide as they did 20 years ago. This change is worth noting because these plants remove huge amounts of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and CO2 is one of the most common of all the greenhouse gases. Watson Gregg is an oceanographer with the U.S. Space Agency NASA. He uses satellite images to study the abundance of small marine plants known as phytoplankton. He says the phytoplankton have less to eat these days, and one reason has to do with water temperature. The temperature of the Earth's atmosphere has risen, and so has the temperature of seawater in the surface of the ocean. The surface water gets lighter as it gets warmer, and that seals off the deeper water that's cold and dense. The cold water carries up nutrients from the depths, and marine plants at the surface need it to survive. Gregg says this means less food for phytoplankton as the temperature of the surface goes up.
The more you warm it, the more of a barrier there is, and that prevents nutrients from getting up, and that tends to sort of starve the phytoplankton, so they can't grow as fast.
Gregg says satellite data indicate that phytoplankton use 6% less carbon dioxide today than they did in the early 1980s. He says the degree of the decline is not necessarily the most important part of the story.
I think the fact that there's a decline at all is probably the bigger thing. I don't know whether I can say that 6% is something particularly noteworthy. You know, it's not small, but the fact that it occurred at all suggests that there's a consistent story here.
Gregg says these results indicate that the use of carbon dioxide by marine plants might be declining as a result of changes in the Earth's climate. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda, I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. I hate to put myself in the same class as ignorant religious fundamentalists, but I may have inadvertently done that. I got a couple of emails here, one from Reverend Debu and the other one from John Stone. From Reverend Debu, Mike, just to let you know, the Hubble Space Telescope was actually replaced, or will be replaced, by an even better, more powerful space telescope, the Spitzer Telescope. The new Spitzer Telescope has only just begun to return pictures in the last couple of months, but what it's showing us is just astonishing. It's seeing further away through space and through time than Hubble ever could. And then he gives a website, spitzer.caltech.edu, in case you want to check it out. Spitzer, S-P-I-T-Z-E-R, .caltech.edu. And John emails in, Mike, as much as I detest the fundies, I think you may have put the wrong spin on this one. The Hubble was a mess right from the start. Mirror screw-ups, insistence on launch by the shuttle, which doomed it to a very bad low Earth orbit that causes problems and pointing to this day from thermal shocks. Air design. Fortunately, the Webb Space Telescope will have none of these problems, and the usefulness will be immeasurably greater. Now, I don't know if the Webb Space Telescope is the same as the Spitzer or if they're two new ones, guys. Help me out. Let the Hubble die a dignified death, John writes. For all its glory, it wasn't that great in comparison to what will come. John. I think that's Dr. John. and Reverend Debu. Okay, guys, so let me know if Spitzer and this other one, Webb Space Telescope, are the same. Which I don't think really, and thanks for the corrections to both of you. I don't think, though, that that really has a bearing on the morons who make up the core of the Bush fundamentalist Christian Republicans who hate the like hell to see proof or evidence that something is older than 5 or 6,000 years, because it just kind of car wrecks their whole creationism life view, right? Now, back to Wesley Clark, his support of and dealings with the School of the Americas, doesn't that then make Michael Moore's endorsement of Wesley Clark the other night just horrifying? Huh? Isn't it Michael Moore? God, I hate doing this because I've really... really had a lot of good feelings about Michael Moore. But this doesn't this put Michael Moore in some kind of a special class of either charlatans, morons, or duplicitous? Do we have another Christopher Hitchens on our hands here? Do we have another David Horowitz on our hands here? Somebody who, for years, espoused liberal or progressive points of view and now flips. I can't believe that Michael Moore's detesting of George Bush, which cannot be greater than mine, would cause Michael Moore to back somebody who is 180 degrees from Michael Moore's stated positions. I'm not jumping on Wesley Clark here. I'm just jumping on this one position. What I'm shocked at, however, is it Michael Moore who has made movies, has written books about his point of view against corporate America, which I agree with, against the military-industrial complex? Well, for Christ's sake, Wesley Clark personifies the military-industrial complex, doesn't he? I don't know. Maybe Wesley Clark supporters, maybe you can send me something. Has Wesley Clark repudiated his support? This is in the Boston Globe on Saturday. Has Wesley Clark repudiated his support of respect for School of the Americas? I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know. So because I have not, I've said it before, I've gone to Wesley Clark's website a couple of times, but I haven't seen anything on School of the Americas. Now, School of the Americas is one of the reasons that people around the world hate our guts with such a passion, because, again, most of us Americans don't have a clue as to what School of the Americas is or what it does and what it's been doing for the past almost 60 years. It has been a training ground for people to go back to their home countries, mostly in, if not exclusively, in Central and South America, and work from a right-wing point of view, neo-fascist or neo-Nazi point of view, to destroy, murder, kill, rape, torture, overthrow governments, stop progressive movements, butcher people who might want to unionize the workers who are working for American corporations scattered all over Central and South America. I mean, this has been a real sewer. This has been a blight on America. This has been an open, running, pussy, bleeding, nasty sore on the United States is this filthy, disgusting School of the Americas down at Fort Benning, Georgia. God only knows, and literally for people who believe in God, only your God knows how many people are dead as a result of the terror that has been exported in this hemisphere by School of the Americas, and we fund it. It's funded by American taxpayer dollars, champ. Doesn't come from anyplace else. Comes from you and me. Comes out of our pockets. And it's not discussed that much. A Massachusetts representative, Joe Moakley, tried to get it closed. A lot of people tried to get it closed. Not going to happen, because we are the largest exporter of terror, death, and destruction on this planet. We have assumed that mantle. And we wear it proudly. The leadership of this country wears it proudly. The politicians and the people involved in the military-industrial complex. But it was horrifying for me to see this. I didn't know. I didn't know that Wesley Clark, Look, I'm not naive. I know he's been a military man for 36 years or whatever it's been. But I also thought that he was a decent human being. Now, I don't know. I don't know the position of the other candidates on school. I know what Kucinich's position is. I'm not sure what Howard Dean's is where it concerns School of the Americas. But it's to close it. Wipe it off the map. Burn down every building associated with School of the Americas and pour salt on the ground where these horrifying, corrupting, murderous training camps originated here on our soil. What the hell is wrong with us? Why do we allow this to happen? I mean, every year, I've only been there twice, I think, for demonstrations. My former colleague, Peter Werby, I think, goes down there every year. People have gone there every year to protest, usually religious people, Catholics, priests and nuns and people of conscience, from Voices in the Wilderness, all kinds of groups go down there to protest. Of course, Catholic social workers, Catholic missionaries, Catholic priests, Catholic nuns, as a percentage of population, I think, have probably suffered most of the rape, death, destruction, beheading, arms cut off, legs cut off, eviscerated, guts poured on the ground, assassinations, because they have been this liberation theology that the current almost dead Pope in Rome hates because it teaches people to throw off their yokes now and not wait for Jesus, baby, to take it off you when you die. Liberation theology, which the Catholic hierarchy hates. The Catholic hierarchy doesn't want liberation theology. The Catholic hierarchy wants everybody to be good little Catholics, shut up, suffer, die. Oh, and, you know, don't forget to tithe. And then this mythical cloud being will make everything good after you're dead. Well, liberation theologists who are Catholics never believe that. They believe, look, we've got to change things now. We have to change things now. So, as I can't imagine Catholics in this country supporting Wesley Clark once they figure out in Boston, Massachusetts, my God, isn't Boston the Catholic Central? I think it is, isn't it? Huh? Catholics, right? All over Massachusetts. So what will happen when the Catholics understand that Wesley Clark supports an institution that has been slaughtering priests and nuns and Catholic social workers and butchering them and raping them and torturing them and gouging their eyes out and ripping their legs out of their sockets? I mean, how does a good Catholic then support Wesley Clark? This really irritates me. If I found out Dennis Kucinich was a backer of School of the Americas, I'd be saying the same thing. So I'm not trying to piss off you people who support Wesley Clark. Not at all. But how do you reconcile this? That's a straight question. You can answer if you want. If you don't, just ignore it. It doesn't matter to me. I don't support anyone. I wouldn't support Jesus Christ if he said, hi, I'm back, and I support School of the Americas. I'd look for a hammer and some nails. You understand what I mean by that? I hate that. I hate that place. I hate the fact that I live in the same country, the same state. Hell, we only live, what, Kathy, 120 miles from this abattoir of poison. I need to get an answer on this. So let's go to Rob in Washington, D.C. Rob, what about the Wesley Clark SOA thing?
Well, I can't begin to reconcile the evil that's been committed by organizations like the School of the Americas. But I do know that in an imperfect world, I have to pick my priorities. And as Clinton once said, I can't allow the perfect to be the enemy of the good.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do, I've basically come to the conclusion that things are so far gone, things are so bad right now, that it's darn near going to take a miracle to get us out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest problem with the Bush administration is that they have the bombs, they have the guns, and they've demonstrated that they're more than willing to use them.
Right.
And in order to beat this juggernaut, we are going to have to get the wheels to come off. We're going to have to split it apart and basically cause this machine to fall apart. And I see probably the primary power, the core constituency that must be peeled away from the Bush crime family is the military.
Mm-hmm.
And I see Clark as being key to that. It is an excuse. If Clark were to become the nominee, all of the various individuals who don't like Bush, who are very angry about what he has done with the military, and, you know, all sorts of other things related to this, would have an excuse to get off of that side and to get onto the Democratic side.
Okay, that's very logical.
I mean, I after seeing what they have done to Dean in the last few weeks, and again, seeing just how bad things are, you know, like I think Moore said something to the effect that, you know, we have to vote to make a statement and to do several things, but to save the country from catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to fight fire with fire in order to do that.
Okay. All right, Rob. That I appreciate the way you put that. That answers it for me. I hope it answers it for the rest of the listeners.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Tom is calling from Washington, Iowa, with I hope a live caucus report here. Is that right, Tom?
Yeah, sort of live. I think they already announced the winner, but I'll tell you what happened in our caucus anyway.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
Okay, we had 51 people. It's mainly our rural. Mm-hmm. Caucus people.
Right.
My guess is the average age was in probably 50s. It broke down first, for, you know, when you first stand up for your candidate, it broke down 18 for Edwards, 15 for Kerry, 10 for Dean, 6 for Gephardt, and 2 for Kucinich.
Oh, by the way, we just got a notice here. Gephardt is getting out.
Is it? Yeah, I thought he probably would. It was.
Gephardt is leaving the race. Unbelievable. I didn't think he would be the second one to fall after after Carol Moseley Braun, but he's gone.
Huh. Good. That's all I got to say.
All right. So in your group, the percentages, could you give them to me again, Tom?
Okay. It was 18 for Edwards.
18 for Edwards.
15 for Kerry.
Okay.
10 for Dean, 6 for Gephardt, and 2 for Kucinich. That was the first, when you first stand up for your candidate.
Right.
Then you got to have... If, Kucinich and Gephardt didn't have viable groups. I think you'd need 9 to be viable.
Mm-hmm.
The Gephardt people all went to Edwards. And I don't know whether it was because they were just sitting on the same side of the room or or what. The Kucinich people split between Edwards and Dean.
Now, I thought there was a deal between Edwards and Kucinich. At least CNN was reporting that.
Yeah, but that doesn't bind anybody.
Doesn't hold.
I mean,
okay.
Somebody mentioned that, trying to talking the two into coming over to Edwards, but
right.
People said, oh, well, big deal.
Yeah, that's the part about this is so irritating to me, the way the press tries to make this sound like there are some sort of a bargaining or rules or something. These are people get together who make their own mind up immediately on the spot.
Well, yeah, and you can argue back and forth and go over to one group and try to convince them to come over to your group.
Right. And the arrogance of media to try to say, well, here's the winner, here's the loser. I think the only losers tonight are people who will get out of the race altogether, and apparently that appears to be Gephardt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it broke down in the second after that. I think Dean still had 10. Not enough to elect a delegate. We could only elect 3 delegates to the county convention.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that 10, it's probably 2/3 went to Edwards and the other 1/3 to Kerry. But it broke out in the end, Edwards 31, Kerry 20.
Hmm.
So it was a 3-1, or 2-1 as far as delegates go.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was an interesting dynamic. It was mainly middle-aged white folks, no African-American. No,
well, that's about all that lives in Iowa is middle-aged white folks.
Yeah, we've got a growing population, Hispanic population.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, because of a meatpacking plant here, they recruit a lot of people.
Well, now, in your caucusing group, was it, I assume that you mean it was mostly white people. Is that because Latino people there are not aware of the system, or they're not legal? Or?
That might have been a part of it. I think a lot of it was just because my township is all rural, and most of the Hispanic people live in town.
Yeah, yeah, I got you.
So
okay.
I think that's probably a lot of it.
All right. Well, Tom, thank you. That's very interesting. I've written these numbers down. Let me see. I want to see how this holds now as the night progresses. Thank you so much. I appreciate you doing this.
Sure.
All right, sir. Take care. Quick break, folks. We'll be right back.
That's the funny thing about democracy. A vote for me. Vote for me!
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
The majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, don't forget John Buchanan will be joining us after the break here at the top of the hour. He is running against Bush in the Republican primary in New Hampshire next Tuesday, and he'll be joining us after the break. Chris is calling from Cincinnati. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
You're doing fine, sir. How are you?
Great. This is the, you know, the race relation capital of the world here at Cincinnati.
Yes, indeed.
And also another little thing about Cincinnati is Clear Channel has a lot of roots here, you know.
Yeah, that's where they started, right across the river, I believe, in Covington, or not Covington, but what's right across the Ohio River?
Well, yeah, there's Newport and Covington in northern Kentucky, but I mean, like Randy Michaels and all these guys.
Yeah, when they were J-Corps, that's where they started.
Right, J-Corps, right. Mm-hmm. But anyway, just by accident, I had Drudge on last night, and just for a few minutes, and then there he was, and right, you know, they had Dean's wife come out, right?
Right.
So it was Judy, you know what I mean?
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm a Catholic, you know, I mean... I wonder if the Jews pick up on this.
Well, Matt Drudge is Jewish.
Yeah, I know, but it's, you know,
so they were doing that.
Yeah,
oh,
you know.
Oh my God,
it's really sick, you know.
Well, this is George Bush's America.
Exactly.
Look what happened in where was it in? There was a Democratic rally at Drake University. Over the weekend, what's your name? Oh, damn it! Who was there? Who's the singer? Not Annie DeFranco, but Joan Jett was performing there, and a bunch of these Republican college brown shirts, little Nazi bastards,
right,
came in, and the video I saw, Joan Jett took a kind of pushed one of them. You know, I don't remember this when I was politically active. And out and about, I swear to God, had one of these little weasels taken a push or stormed into a place where we were having a protest, they would have gotten their asses handed to them. I don't mean to come across like a tough guy. I just mean that's exactly how we would have done it. We just would have beat the living Christ out of them. So I don't understand how these little Republican brown shirts, just like they did in Palm Beach County, the vote counting, and now up in at Drake University in Des Moines, what makes them think they can just storm onto somebody else's rally and raise hell? I don't quite get that.
Well, you have to pay attention to the media and just what they're saying. You know, if you really listen into it, I mean, they really feed on that kind of thing, though. I mean,
yeah, they do. That's like.
And then, of course, her being a doctor too. You know,
right.
A uppity woman. You know.
Yeah. Hey, there's the music, Chris. We got a break.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Talk to you
Appreciate
later.
You checking in. Stick around, John Buchanan. When we come back, I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
Why something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
Mike Malloy Show weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
The IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A suicide driver set off a truck bomb at the gates of the U.S.-led coalition headquarters Sunday, killing about 20 people and wounding 63 in the deadliest attack here since Saddam Hussein's capture last month. The bombing came on the eve of a meeting between U.S. Administrator L. Paul Bremer and U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan to discuss Iraqi's future, including whether Iraq is safe enough for the world body to return. The attack was the first vehicle bombing inside the U.S.-controlled Green Zone along the west bank of the Tigris River, which insurgents have targeted in the past with mortar and rocket fire. The force of the blast from a bomb containing 1,000 pounds of explosive rattled windows more than a mile away. An Idaho lab has released conclusive results showing 36 mortar shells recently unearthed in southern Iraq contained no chemical warfare agent, the Danish Army said Sunday. Initial examinations by Danish and British troops had indicated a blister agent was in the shells, which apparently date to the Iran-Iraq War of the 1980s. But tests by the U.S. Department of Energy's National Engineering and Environmental Laboratory in Idaho came back negative, the Danish Army Operational Command said in a statement. The results confirmed earlier findings by a U.S.-led Iraq survey group that was dispatched to the site in southern Iraq after the shells were found. Northwest Airlines said Sunday that an executive and a company spokesman were not aware of the company's role in a secret government study when they denied that the airline gave away passenger information. Northwest acknowledged Saturday that it gave information to the federal government for an air security project after the September 11th terrorist attacks. The airline said it participated in the NASA program to help the government search for technology to improve aviation security. Northwest was the second airline to be identified as secretly passing travelers' records to the government. In September, JetBlue Airways said it turned over passenger records to a defense contractor. The company later apologized to its customers. More news after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
People in straight-laced Singapore were urged Monday to act like monkeys, the Chinese zodiac sign for the coming lunar year, for the sake of their country. Singaporeans could foster an economic recovery this year by behaving more like monkeys, Deputy Prime Minister Tony Tan said in a Lunar New Year message. Chinese communities around the world will herald the start of the year of the monkey on Thursday. Chinese believe the monkey is clever, flexible, innovative, and confident, but can also be selfish, jealous, and vain. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Murder is not anything I could ever commit, but there are a few individuals whose obituaries I could read without feeling terribly sad. I must admit, however, that one thing does induce murderous thoughts in my otherwise gentle head. Car alarms. Like a demon screeching from the deepest reaches of hell, these satanic devices whoop, beep, razz, whine, and irritate in the most intrusive way, shattering the civility of entire neighborhoods and jangling even the calmest of souls. They seem programmed specifically to go off in the wee hours of morning, rudely awakening families for blocks around in an act of urban harassment. car alarms are sold in the name of theft protection. But that's a joke. An independent survey of 73 million insurance claims for robbery of vehicles reveals that cars with alarms, quote, show no overall reduction in theft losses. Why? Two reasons. First, nearly all of the whoop-whooping is due to false alarms caused by a passing motorcycle, a thump by a cat, or simply because the damn thing decides on its own to interrupt our peace and tranquility. They go off so often that most of us always assume it's a false alarm. An insurance company found that fewer than 1% of people would call the cops because of a blaring car alarm. Second, it's rare to hear an alarm when the car is actually being stolen because real thieves can easily deactivate the devices in only seconds. As one expert puts it, car alarms work about as well as fuzzy dice at deterring theft. Far from stopping crime, they often cause it, as irate neighbors go out in their jammies to puncture tires, sledgehammer hoods, and even shoot the offending vehicles. Plus, all of this is unnecessary, since there are engine immobilizers that can prevent nearly all auto thievery. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help kill screeching car alarms, call Transportation Alternatives, 212-629-8080.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Let me quote just a couple lines here from an article in the New York Press by my good friend, and I mean that, Paul Krasner, whom I've known for about 30 years now. Paul is writing about the Republican journalist who is going after George Bush in the Republican primary in New Hampshire in about a week. Just the first line here. Paul writes, although the facts of the Bush family Nazi Germany connection have been whirling around in cyberspace for years, veteran journalist John Buchanan was among the first to confirm the story in print. And now he's running against Bush in the New Hampshire Republican primary. In January 2003, Buchanan got involved in the anti-war movement and began researching war profiteering in the Bush administration by way of such companies as Carlyle Group, ESS, Bioport, Halliburton, Bechtel, and Wackenhut. His investigation ultimately led to a screenplay called Project Clear Vision, taken from the name of an actual CIA anthrax biowarfare project that may have violated the 1972 Biological Weapons Convention. It goes on and on and on. He was asked to run for president by John McConnell, who is the co-founder of Earth Day. John McConnell is in his late 80s right now. His friends include 33 Nobel laureates and former UN Secretary General U Thant. And after being asked to do this, McConnell... John Buchanan decided to take a shot at it. I'm leaving out 99.9% of it, John. Correct the parts that need correcting there, would you?
I'm sorry?
Correct the parts that need correcting there. I'm leaving out
about... So far, so good, Mike. sounds right on the money to me.
Thanks for joining us. John is... We're talking to John from his campaign headquarters at the New Hampshire Econolodge?
Econolodge. Yes, the Econo Lodge in downtown Manchester, the nerve center of New Hampshire politics.
Now, Kathy stressed that you choose to be identified not as a politician by any means, but as a journalist, which is the only way I know you. I have never had never heard of you until I started reading, like a lot of people did, your articles on the Bush Nazi connection. What made you decide to turn a corner here and go from that into politics, presidential politics?
Two things, basically, as you mentioned. The first one, and strangely enough, they were directly related. Mr. McConnell called. He was the first person to call me, although I had gotten quite a few emails that first weekend when the first story came out in the New Hampshire Gazette on Friday, October 10th. It's only published fortnightly on Fridays, as they call it, so it's every other Friday.
Uh-huh.
And on Monday morning, October 13th, Mr. McConnell called me. Now, what's so interesting is that I didn't actually know who he was in the first call, because he didn't identify himself as the founder of Earth Day, but we talked for an hour. And he said, you seem to me to be a person of such courage and conviction that you could actually change the world for the better. And to be honest, I thought he was a kook because I didn't know who he was, and I had never
sure.
thought of myself that way. So he asked me to run, and I told him in that first conversation that I had no interest in running for public office, that I had a nice, simple life in Miami Beach and was a freelance journalist and so on. And he kept calling me and kept calling me, and what happened was that on November 11th, so almost a month later, a group approached me over the phone that included a Christian, a Muslim, a Republican, a Democrat, etc., and came up with the additional strategy, which I would have never thought of, actually, of running against him directly as a Republican. And I was a registered Democrat my entire life, and I voted for Al Gore in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And so I explained to this little group that, you know, frankly, I didn't really know what a real Republican was, and I if it was going to have any integrity, and I would not do to Karl Rove what Karl Rove had done to Cynthia McKinney, who's one of my heroes, by rigging an election and having, you know, phony Democrats vote against her and
sure,
all that as Republicans,
sure.
that I needed to, you know, find out what a Republican really believed in. So I literally went to Google and checked out Republican values and found, you know, smaller government, reduced bureaucracy.
Well, you know that's not true any longer.
Oh, of course it's not. But I mean,
right.
Truly nothing to do with
right.
Karl Rove and the neocons. And I thought, well, if these are, you know, true historical Republican values, I can do this with integrity. So I agreed to do it on November 11th,
mm-hmm.
and that started the whole thing. And quite frankly, since I didn't know that you had been a friend of Paul Krassner's for 30 years. I moved to New York in February of 1970 and began my journalism career on a paper called the Hudson Dispatch in Union
right.
City, New Jersey, which is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, that was the height of hippiedom and the anti-war movement, and Paul was publishing The Realist at the time.
That's
and
right.
he's been a lifelong hero of mine, and I've been a great fan of his. And he really, I think, gets as much credit for the extraordinary events of the last 2.5 weeks since I've been up here as Mr. McConnell, because frankly that piece in the New York Press, which was up online before it actually came out in the newspaper last week, really gave me credibility that otherwise I frankly don't think I would have had. And so I just sent Mr. Krassner an email yesterday telling him that he had made a friend for life, and I hope he realizes what a monster he's created, because people actually do believe on the ground in New Hampshire now that I'm going to win the New Hampshire primary and end this man's political career and drive him from office, just as another hero of mine, Eugene McCarthy, did to LBJ in 1968
yeah.
over another war, as you recall.
Well, it's amazing to me that, as Paul wrote, your story about the Bush-Nazi connection ran in, let's see, the Moscow Times, London Guardian, Hindustan Times, Sydney Morning Herald, Jerusalem Post, Newsday, Washington Times, Chicago Sun-Times, Kansas City Star, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, San Francisco Chronicle, New Orleans Times-Picayune, Miami Herald, all of these newspapers in the United States and around the world, and I can't understand quite yet why the major broadcast networks have not picked up on this. And
that actually, Mike, is probably my primary motivation for agreeing to do it and for pointing out very carefully that not only am I running as a journalist, but I'm running as a common citizen, because what I have learned also since being up here, and I'm almost embarrassed to admit how naive I must have been to be 53 years old and a journalist for 33 years and not realize what utter contempt the American public has, rightly so, for the so-called conglomerate-owned mainstream media. Mm-hmm. And frankly, my view is that President Bush is only the symptom of the disease right now that the mainstream media and their obfuscation of fact and cover-ups and refusal to get on stories like this and many other stories, as you know, that are much more contemporary, have literally subverted the Constitution and are in fact guilty of treason. And just so you know, I have declared in the last 72 hours as a strategy move, the New York Times public enemy number one, and I have been leaving daily messages, and others have, on my behalf from around the country for Arthur Sulzberger Jr., the publisher and owner, mm-hmm. and Bill Keller, the executive editor, and I literally accuse them of treason. And every day when I call, I say the New York Times is one day closer to obsolescence, and I believe that.
Well, let me ask you. I like your platform. As I understand the way Paul put it out, you've got 3 points. End the corporate reign in this country by getting corporations out of politics and government entirely. 2, end war profiteering by former government officials and Washington insiders. And 3, reform the media.
Mm-hmm.
And that your campaign manager there is David Kubiak, a Democrat who ran in the New Hampshire primary for vice president in 2000. What does it do, though, to a campaign? And I've got to assume you're very serious. I accuse George Bush and his cabal of treason practically every night on this program, but then that's kind of expected from me in a weird kind of way, because I'm not running against him. I'm not trying to take his office away from him. So making some of the statements that you're making, does it detract from the credibility of your campaign?
And you know, I'm running literally as the truth candidate. So that being the case, I do my best to answer every question as honestly and directly as I can. And here goes. The thing I'm probably most surprised by, and I hope that from your vast experience in interviewing people of different stripes, and particularly your listeners, the thing that I'm probably most surprised by, given the incongruity of the fact that I would run it all and still be here after 2 weeks, and in fact be raising money now and I'm going to buy some TV time to speak live a week from today, the day before the primary and so on, is that what I'm most shocked to find is that if you take away the partisan issues and you try to elevate the conversation to what's really good for this country and good for all Americans, we the people, there's really not that much difference between so-called Republicans and Democrats and liberals and conservatives. I hope you know what I mean, so you're not as shocked as you might be by that statement.
I think I know what you mean but you're talking on a higher level than politics. I think
that's exactly what I mean. And,
right.
And I approach it as a moral issue in the sense that I open every stump speech and every interview pretty much, et cetera, by framing it with just two questions. And I don't care so much about getting votes or who interviews me or whether I win or lose or whatever. What I care about is establishing the answer to two questions. Number one, who really owns this government? We the people or the transnational corporations?
Right.
And number two, do truth and honor still matter in this country? And I think those are questions that traditional politicians don't have the guts to go near, number one. And the other thing, since you mentioned my platform, which we can talk about in as much detail as you
like. Yeah, John, let me get you a hold right there, because we got to take a break here.
Okay,
I'll put you on hold. We'll come back in just a moment. We're talking with John Buchanan, who is running in the Republican primary in New Hampshire against George Bush. in about a week. If you have a question for John Buchanan, the journalist, the one who really got the story out about the Bush family Nazi connection, call us, 800-TALK-YES.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Celebrating the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Listen as we reflect on his words.
And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee.
Thank you, Dr. King, for being the person you were and for what you stood for to make us the people we are today. Your words live on.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We are talking with journalist turned Republican presidential candidate John Buchanan in New Hampshire for the primary coming up in about a week. Where were we right before that break? Do you remember, John?
Actually, I don't.
Kathy said you have some breaking news for us.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's a major breaking news, actually. Your producer had asked me when I called in if it was bigger news than John Curry winning in Iowa, and I said humbly I believed it was. I did a two-hour radio interview in Houston on Friday morning, last Friday, with a gentleman named Mark Babawi. And strangely enough, he can see the Enron towers out of his window, and he refers to them as George Bush giving him the finger twice. And at the end, it had originally been scheduled for a one-hour interview, and then he kept me for the second hour. So at the end of the second hour, he asked me if I would be willing to debate George Bush. And I said, you know, it's ridiculous that anybody asked me to run for president, but it's absurd to think that Bush would actually debate me, or that Karl Rove would let Bush debate an unheard-of journalist who discovered his family's Nazi past at the National Archives and is now challenging for president. Well, the punchline to the story is that Mr. Babawi and his radio station are very well connected, and that he has established contact with the Republican National Committee and the New Hampshire Republican Party today. And I was on Friday morning before I came back to the hotel to do the interview in Texas with the number two political talk show here in New Hampshire with a gentleman named Woody Woodland. And he's having on Secretary of State Gardner tomorrow, New Hampshire Secretary of State Bill Gardner tomorrow morning. And he has asked that Mr. Babawi and I call in at 7:45. And so I'm going to encourage your listeners to please do the same. And I'll give the phone number in a second, because he believes that not only will Secretary of State Gardner get behind it, but that Secretary of State Gardner has the wherewithal to make the debate happen. And if George Bush will debate me, I will end his presidency in 90 minutes, because I will use nothing but the truth and facts that are irrefutable. And I'm not talking about the Nazi past or anything like that. I'm talking about his policies and decisions and the truth of what he's done to this country in the last 3 years.
What number would you like people to call?
The number to call in and talk to Woody Woodland and Secretary of State Gardner is area code 603-647-1250.
603-647-1250.
Yes, sir.
And when would this...
Anytime tomorrow morning between 7:30 and 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Beginning at 7:30 would be wonderful.
Well, of course, that's going to eliminate an awful lot of our audience.
Absolutely.
Especially the ones that live in California and listen to this program.
Indeed. But even if only a few can call in, those who will make the effort to call in and express their passionate desire to have this man exposed for what he is will be greatly rewarded for the effort, even if they have to stay up all night.
Well, that would be interesting, but I would be willing to bet you eternity in hell, John, that Karl Rove would no more allow George W. Bush to get into a debate with a journalist who had exposed his family's Nazi past then Karl Rove would gargle razor blades.
I mean, and frankly, I agree with you. However, Mr. Babawi feels that George Bush is now in a no-win position, literally, especially since tomorrow, as your listeners know, is State of the Union Day. And so Mr. Babawi has talked to various organizations around the country, including, you may know Vic Fusco, who does a show called Labor Lines and has a working-class audience and is affiliated with labor organizations around the country.
I think I've heard the name. John, yeah. I got to put you on hold again because we have another break. When we come back, we'll take a couple of calls from the audience. We're talking with John Buchanan, Republican in, actually a Democrat, but he's running on the Republican ballot in New Hampshire in the primary against George Bush. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A lot of tiny plants in the ocean appear to be growing more slowly as the oceans get warmer. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Plants use carbon dioxide during photosynthesis, but small plants at sea are not using as much carbon dioxide as they did 20 years ago. This change is worth noting because these plants remove huge amounts of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and CO2 is one of the most common of all the greenhouse gases. Watson Gregg is an oceanographer with the U.S. Space Agency NASA. He uses satellite images to study the abundance of small marine plants known as phytoplankton. He says the phytoplankton have less to eat these days, and one reason has to do with water temperature. The temperature of the Earth's atmosphere has risen, and so has the temperature of seawater in the surface of the ocean. The surface water gets lighter as it gets warmer, and that seals off the deeper water that's cold and dense. The cold water carries up nutrients from the depths, and marine plants at the surface need it to survive. Gregg says this means less food for phytoplankton as the temperature of the surface goes up.
The more you warm it, the more of a barrier there is, and that prevents nutrients from getting up, and that tends to sort of starve the phytoplankton, so they can't grow as fast.
Gregg says satellite data indicate that phytoplankton use 6% less carbon dioxide today than they did in the early 1980s. He says the degree of the decline is not necessarily the most important part of the story.
I think the fact that there's a decline at all is probably the bigger thing. I don't know whether I can say that 6% is something particularly noteworthy. You know, it's not small, but the fact that it occurred at all suggests that there's a consistent story here.
Gregg says these results indicate that the use of carbon dioxide by marine plants might be declining as a result of changes in the Earth's climate. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I think American people, now that they've realized I'm going to seek re-election, expect me to seek re-election.
27 before the hour. The guy's a real genius, isn't he, John? We're talking with John Buchanan, who is running against George Bush in the Republican primary in New Hampshire, the vote for which comes up in about a week. John, Paul Krasner refers to your platform and I guess by extension your campaign as quixotically idealistic. How do you answer that?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I'll tell you why. And he had made that reference because he had filed his article about 3 weeks before it actually appeared, and I spent those intervening 3 weeks really working on my platform. And what's really interesting to me is that if you take the point of view that you're on the side of the people – and not on the side of transnational corporations, it isn't that hard to figure out what needs to be done to fix this country.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been deluded into believing that the job is so complex that, you know, it's a rare gift to be able to serve as president. And I'd like to go into a little bit of detail to show you how simple I truly believe that it is. But, for example, on my point about ending the corporate stranglehold on American government and politics, that can be a hollow campaign slogan if you don't have specific answers. So my premise is to literally, as you said, remove every bit of corporate influence from this government and from politics because they have poisoned the entire process.
Absolutely.
But in order to do that, two of the platform planks that I have that are quite severe is outlawing political action committees and, most important, outlawing professional lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
Because by definition, professional lobbyists are never on the side of the people and are always on the side of corporate interests. So my premise is that if you want to be a lobbyist, you ride a plane, ride the train, walk, hitchhike, whatever you do to go to Washington or go to your state house, and you literally lobby as a citizen, but you can't make $7 or $8 or $10 million a year
mm-hmm.
being a lobbyist.
That makes perfect sense to me. The only one other thing I would add, and that would be something I've been talking about for 5 years, the total disallowing of any sort of political ad on radio or television, because especially television, because the medium can be used, is used to sell us things and not to inform us.
As a matter of fact, not only am I stunned by how simple and brilliant that idea is, but the only way I agreed to come up here and run is that I would do no polling and run not one dime of advertising in any medium, because obviously my platform and my thinking on what government ought to be can't be packaged into a 30-second spot. Anyway, and with your permission, I will add that to my new and improved platform tomorrow morning and give you due credit. That's a stroke of genius.
Absolutely. I don't misunderstand now. If somebody were to drop $1 million in your lap and said, John, use this for political campaign, political ads on television, I don't believe going to a knife fight with a bag of rocks. So I do believe that you would probably have to use it. What I'm saying is any future...
Actually, Mike, my platform includes a total public funding of all elections at the federal and state level.
Well, I agree with that.
Which isn't in the printed piece that you have, because I've been refining it as I go along, because I frankly think that the notion of the soundbite and the 30-second spot has totally subverted politics.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's hard enough to learn about candidates if you make the effort to really investigate
yeah.
what they really are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And by trying to put that into a 30-second spot, you are fostering confusion rather than mm-hmm. fostering communication, so to speak.
That's one of the reasons I think the caucus idea in Iowa, it's a shame we don't have caucuses in every state. I think that's why it is so important, because the candidates have to get out there. And actually go into living rooms and dining halls and church basements and gymnasiums and confront and discuss issues with people. They can't duck. They can't hide. There's nobody there to run interference for them. And I think it's a great idea.
Absolutely.
The only way I truly believe this, John.
I agree with that. I agree with that as well. Now, another specific plank that I hope will be as obviously simple to you and your listeners, how to address the issue of white-collar corporate crime. I did a lot of research when I decided to run as a, you know, as a trained as a journalist to investigate the history of what has become the modern corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And as you and many of your listeners probably know, the concept of what turned out to be the modern corporation goes back to the 16th and 17th century, and those
mm-hmm.
rights were granted by kings, and those who were the predecessors to corporations could create currencies, have private armies, invade countries, whatever. But if they upset the king could revoke their charter, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked with some constitutional lawyers at the University of Miami, and I came up with what I think is the ultimate platform plank for corporate crime, which is three strikes and you're out. By referendum in the state where you are incorporated, your corporate charter is revoked as a matter of violation of the public trust, and in addition to going to jail, your corporation has vanished from the planet.
I like the vanishing from the planet part.
Absolutely. That's my favorite as well.
That's especially good. All right, let me get a couple of calls in here in the time we have left. Michael is calling from Santa Fe. Michael, welcome to the program. Say hi to John Buchanan.
How's it going, Mr. Buchanan?
Fine, Michael. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. It's amazing that there's somebody running against W.
Absolutely, and I'm giving it everything I got because of people like yourself and Mr. Malloy, let me tell you.
Yes, I'm very happy to have the militia around. I mean, as far as finding out information.
What about your question here for John Buchanan?
The question is, say you were president when W was, as far as 9/11, and I couldn't help hear of the Martin Luther King when he said, "Let freedom ring in New York," and I'm thinking, "Let freedom ring in Afghanistan and Kuwait," and I was wondering what your feeling is about freeing those people from the bind that the Nazism that you're speaking of was ruling those countries.
Okay, listen, Michael, you're fading in and out quite a bit. I think his question.
I think I got the.
You got the question. Okay.
Which is a general view of foreign policy in the sense of liberating the world, so to speak, rather than enslaving it, so to speak. Is that it?
I think that's close enough.
Yeah, and that's an excellent question, Michael, that I like to talk about because, again, if I am the truth candidate and running as a journalist who's written about international affairs and stuff for a long time, the truth of the matter and the ultimate bitter irony probably of the end of the Cold War is that precisely because of the corporate control of our government, we don't export democracy so much as we create markets. And I'm sure you know that very well.
Sure.
And over the 12 or 13 years since the Cold War ended, not only have we blown the opportunity as the only unopposed superpower in the world to truly export American values, which are human rights and fair labor practices and fair trade practices and so on, but we have in fact violated every one of those things. And the precise example I would give is so-called free trade.
Mm-hmm.
Free trade is a stacked deck in favor of the transnational corporations at the expense of every country on earth and at the expense of the people of those countries, whereas if we practiced true market economics, rather than sending McDonald's into Bosnia, we would help Bosnians open Bosnian ethnic restaurants and Bosnian craft stores or Iraqi craft stores or art galleries. We wouldn't send in the Gap and Starbucks.
Sure.
And I think that we literally, no pun intended, have polluted world culture by trying to standardize it for the Fortune 500. And if I were to be elected president, I would talk in my inaugural address about America being a good citizen of the world and working very hard for 4 years or 8 years to roll back those negative influences by providing leadership, by doing what, for example, Harry Truman and FDR did, which is go out on the road and get voters to rally for good causes that will be very difficult to get through mm-hmm. Congress, and then get progressive legislation through Congress that makes friends in the world rather than makes the enemies that we seem to have an increasing number of now, and rightly so, because we are hypocrites at best and criminals and imperialists at worst.
Well, the idea of imperialism, it doesn't always come down the barrel of a cannon attached to a tank. It can be cultural imperialism. It can be economic imperialism. And I think you're absolutely right with the idea of opening the Bosnian equivalent of McDonald's instead of the California version. Rick is calling from Santa Fe. Rick, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. It's good to hear John on this, and I'm glad he's running against W. Okay, it looks like Gephardt's out, and unfortunately Kucinich may be out and backing Edwards. So we've got the big four in, and do you care which one of Kerry, Edwards, Clark, or Dean that you're going to run against?
Well, I feel that at least I was a bit prescient on one matter because I predicted a month ago to one of Howard Dean's senior campaign officials in Vermont that his campaign would implode, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that, just so you know, is that I desperately tried to get Governor Dean to take the Bush Nazi documents and go public with them as a presidential candidate before I got into the race, because I was getting death threats and I was under police protection and I feared for my life, and he declined to go public with the Bush Nazi documents. So I spoke to his deputy press secretary, whose name is Andrew, I forget his last name, and I use the T word a lot, but I called Governor Dean a traitor to the truth 4 to 5 weeks ago, and will also release my emails to the Dean campaign to prove conclusively that they are moral cowards who refuse to take the Bush Nazi documents or help me out. So I feel good about Dean coming in third. I am heartbroken about Congressman Kucinich,
yeah,
because I had the experience of meeting him up here Wednesday a week ago at the MTV College Convention. I had spoken, and then he, by coincidence, had spoken the same afternoon after I did, and I was amazed by how good his ideas are and what an honorable citizen he seems to be. And as you well know, he, the margin of error of the polls was his position in the polls, and I think it's horrible that he didn't get more attention and was marginalized for the fact that he's a vegan and meditates and so on and so forth. But I think it's a wide open race now, and frankly, and I hope this doesn't sound preposterous to your listeners, but I believe in a general election I could beat Curry because he is the ultimate inside the Beltway politician, and he's had 20 odd years to show vision, and to me, is just another Washington and insider who now claimed, as I'm sure you know from last week, that he's actually the outsider in the race, which is a concept I can't quite understand.
Rick, thanks.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate your question. I've got to ask you this, too, John. I remember reading Joe, and you mentioned this in the New York Press column or article by Paul Krasner, that Joe Connison, who also is a friend of mine, I was surprised when he wrote the column in the New York Observer.
Mm-hmm. People went into shock.
Where he totally dismissed your story as a smear against Bush. When I read that, I just thought, well, Jesus, he must be having an off day.
Well, actually, Mike, and if you are a friend of his, I'm not impugning.
We're not drinking buddies, but we have had we've spent some time together.
Well, and let me tell you what's so shocking to me about what happened and what I think happened, which is important. But first of all, I also have emails going back to before I went to the archives on September 17th, and I had started out as a whistleblower, not as the reporter who would write the story,
mm-hmm,
and I had offered the documents to him.
That's
and I'm also going to release emails and publish in my book the fact that he had written back and several times said he was on his book tour and very busy, but he said, quote, I sure would like to get a look at those documents.
Mm-hmm.
After I got back from the archives, for whatever reason, he changed his mind and not only declined to look at the documents, but he wrote his piece from the Associated Press version of the story. And if either you or any of your listeners read that little tidbit of reporting,
mm-hmm,
a Washington reporter named Jonathan Salant went to the archives, reconfirmed the fact that the documents existed, and I had reported in my two stories about a total of 23 seizures of companies and business and client assets between 1942 and 1951, and God bless them, Associated Press reduced that to one seizure on October 20th of 1942, which was Union Banking Corp.
Right.
And also dismissed it with the famous line, which has been the Bush family excuse for 60 years, he only held one share of stock and sat on the board. And as you know from my stories, as opposed to the Associated Press version, Prescott Bush ran the Nazi front businesses day to day completely,
mm-hmm,
and the ownership of the stock was almost a moot point. And I have desperately tried to get Associated Press to correct the record. And what's happening now is that Stephen Fowle, the owner of the New Hampshire Gazette, is writing his own piece that will attack the Associated Press story and show how much of a problem it has caused for him and for me.
Isn't it hell trying to get a horrifying truth like this out in front of the American public? I honestly believe that if this, if we were all Italians or Germans or French or Brits, this and a writer like you had come up with this, a journalist had come up with this, it would be discussed, it would be debated, it would be presented, the evidence would be presented to the person accused, in this case George Bush, and an answer would be demanded. John, we have to break again. When we come back, we're only going to have about 2 minutes, so let me put you on hold. Quick break. We'll be right back. We're talking with Republican presidential candidate. Well, presidential candidate wannabe, John Buchanan.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George VI to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Okay, here we go. That Comic Book Show promo, take one. From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, That Comic Book Show.
Hi, Steve. I'm in Schroeder. Can I get your boys anything?
Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here. And no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude. I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something.
Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off.
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up?
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
in an interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops. Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man. He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was it, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, it's my understanding that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, True Seekers.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Justice and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Five before the hour, we're talking with John Buchanan. Have about 2 minutes left, John. He is running on the Republican ticket in the presidential primary in New Hampshire against George Bush. I couldn't help but think during the break, John, I'm flipping back and forth between CNN and MSNBC, both of which are covering Gephardt's speeches. He gets out of everything. I don't know. It sounds like he's about to be executed in the morning. He's praising his wife and his kids and his unions and everybody who's ever supported him. And it's very heartfelt, and I can appreciate that, but I don't understand why the man is leaving other than the fact that I think Gephardt has become pretty much a Republican, which brings me to, why in the world am I talking to you? You're a Republican.
I'm a Democrat in wolf's clothing, number one. And number two, I want to make two things really clear really quickly.
Yeah.
I have no ambition other than accomplishing two things. Number one, getting rid of George Bush now rather than risking his reelection.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, inspiring Americans of all stripes to believe that it is, in fact, our government, and that is not hyperbole or wish-dreaming, and that this is one chance to make that case. And please, if you like what you hear, go to my website, which is www.johnbuchanan.org. I have extensive platform issues about the unanswered questions of 9-1-1, which is a core issue we didn't get a chance to get to tonight.
Right.
And please believe that it's possible to dump this war criminal, treasonous liar on January 27th, a week from tomorrow. And please send modest campaign contributions and prayers and good thoughts, because once I can beat him a week from Tuesday, I can go back to my life in Miami Beach, unless I get elected president, which I frankly think is somewhat unlikely, but we'll see. But I want to thank you, Mike, because you've been in the trenches on these issues, frankly, for a lot longer than I have, and I very much admire you for your courage to use the word treason, because I dream that in my lifetime, George W. Bush and his daddy will go to prison for treason.
Amen, amen.
Amen, John, brother.
John,
thank you so much, and thank your listeners for the good thoughts they send to me.
Absolutely.
And we'll see what happens a week from tomorrow.
Absolutely. Thank you, John.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Now, that's interesting. That is interesting. I've got two words for you. Gene McCarthy. Who knows? We shall see. John Buchanan is running in the Republican primary in New Hampshire a week from tomorrow. He joined us from his headquarters at the O'Connell Lodge in downtown Manchester, New Hampshire.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Dude, it is Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A suicide driver set off a truck bomb at the gates of the U.S.-led coalition headquarters Sunday, killing about 20 people and wounding 63 in the deadliest attack here since Saddam Hussein's capture last month. The bombing came on the eve of a meeting between U.S. Administrator L. Paul Bremer and U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan to discuss Iraqi's future, including whether Iraq is safe enough for the world body to return. The attack was the first vehicle bombing inside the U.S.-controlled Green Zone along the west bank of the Tigris River, which insurgents have targeted in the past with mortar and rocket fire. The force of the blast from a bomb containing 1,000 pounds of explosive rattled windows more than a mile away. Northwest Airlines said Sunday that an executive and a company spokesman were not aware of the company's role in a secret government study when they denied that the airline gave away passenger information. Northwest acknowledged Saturday that it gave information to the federal government for an air security project after the September 11th terrorist attacks. The airline said it participated in the NASA program to help the government search for technology to improve aviation security. Northwest was the second airline to be identified as secretly passing travelers' records to the government. In September, JetBlue Airways said it turned over passenger records to a defense contractor. The company later apologized to its customers. If you run into trouble in San Francisco, look to a woman for help. Mayor Gavin Newsom named Assistant Police Chief Heather Fong as his pick for interim police chief Sunday, 2 days after he swore in Joanne Hayes White as the city's first woman fire chief. If the city's police commission confirms the 26-year veteran's appointment this week as expected, San Francisco will have the rare distinction of having women in the lead in its two key public safety departments. Newsom, who wants Fong considered for the permanent job, had vowed to bring new leadership to a department still reeling from a scandal over a 2002 street brawl in which three off-duty police officers were accused. More news after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 Save the Music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
Singing strengthens the immune system, according to research by scientists at the University in Frankfurt in Germany. The scientists tested the blood of people who sang in a professional choir in the city before and after a 60-minute rehearsal of Mozart's Requiem. They found the concentrations of immunoglobulin A and hydrocortisone increased significantly during the rehearsal. The researchers concluded singing not only strengthened the immune system, but also notably improved the performer's mood. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Murder is not anything I could ever commit,
but there are a few individuals whose obituaries I could read without feeling terribly sad. I must admit, however, that one thing does induce murderous thoughts in my otherwise gentle head. Car alarms. Like a demon screeching from the deepest reaches of hell, these satanic devices whoop, beep, razz, whine, and irritate in the most intrusive way, shattering the civility of entire neighborhoods and jangling even the calmest of souls. They seem programmed specifically to go off in the wee hours of morning, rudely awakening families for blocks around in an act of urban harassment. Car alarms are sold in the name of theft protection, but that's a joke. An independent survey of 73 million insurance claims for robbery of vehicles reveals that cars with alarms, quote, show no overall reduction in theft losses. Why? Two reasons. First, nearly all of the whoop-whooping is due to false alarms caused by a passing motorcycle, a thump by a cat, or simply because the damn thing decides on its own to interrupt our peace and tranquility. They go off so often that most of us always assume it's a false alarm. An insurance company found that fewer than 1% of people would call the cops because of a blaring car alarm. Second, it's rare to hear an alarm when the car is actually being stolen because real thieves can easily deactivate the devices in only seconds. As one expert puts it, car alarms work about as well as fuzzy dice at deterring theft. Far from stopping crime, they often cause it, as irate neighbors go out in their jammies to puncture tires, sledgehammer hoods, and even shoot the offending vehicles. Plus, all of this is unnecessary, since there are engine immobilizers that can prevent nearly all auto thievery. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help kill screeching car alarms, call Transportation Alternatives, 212-629-8080.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Seven past the hour. All right, I guess the returns are still coming in, and the turnout in Iowa was more than twice what it was in 2000. So, If nothing else, you can say that the Bush crime family certainly has activated the Democratic base in this, at least in this particular race, in the Iowa caucuses. The Democrats are out in force. The unofficial returns, if that's what you want to call them, 38% for Kerry, 32% for Edwards, and 18% for Dean. What is also interesting to me is that one of Dean's strengths seemed to have been, or it was predicted to have been, first-time caucus goers, and as it turned out, the first-time caucus goers were just about the same split. I think about 34, 35, 36% for Kerry. Could it be that the Democrats have decided that since most of the candidates seem to be, the perception is, you and I can agree or disagree on this, but the perception seems to be that most of the Democratic potential candidates are on the same page on most of these issues. So it's a question of selecting somebody, at least in Iowa tonight, at least in the caucuses, somebody who can go head-to-head to Bush and whip his ass. The attitude seems to be that that Howard Dean did not have the experience, at least with the Democratic caucus people. So it depends on how you want to read this. You can read it any way you want to, I guess. It can mean nothing. It can mean absolutely nothing, or it can be a lightning bolt. I think the fact that 120-plus thousand people turned out And I think in 2000 it was, didn't somebody quote something, in 2000 it was less than 60,000 people showed up for the caucuses. But Bush has so destroyed this country, so polluted, so bastardized what America stands for, that maybe maybe people have decided that what is most important is to win, to get his ass and his party out of control of this government. We're going to join MSNBC here. We looked at CNN, but they have, of all people, Ed Gillespie, the head of the Republican National Committee, sitting there with Wolf Blitzer, the former German submarine commandant, and Judy Woodruff. And I just I want nothing to do with Ed Gillespie. Let's join MSNBC right now. Ted Kennedy is introducing Kerry, and Kerry is going to speak. Well, stay with us for a couple of minutes.
Nominee, the next president of the United States, John Kerry.
Thank you. Thank you, Iowa. Well, Iowa, I love you. I love you. Last night, the New England Patriots won. Tonight, this New Englander won, and you've sent me on the way to the Super Bowl. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Iowa, for making me the comeback Kerry. Not so long ago, this campaign was written off. But in your homes in Iowa, in community centers, in VFW posts, in restaurants where you never let me stop and eat, in homes, living rooms, and barns where we gathered across this great state, you listened. You stood the ground, and on caucus night, you stood with me so that together we can take on George Bush and the special interests and give... So that we can take on George Bush and the special interests and literally give America back its future and its soul. And I have listened to you. And tonight, I want to ask, there was a woman who came up to me in a barn a few days ago, right before the night when the polls started to really switch. And she handed me this four-leaf clover. I don't know her name, but I want her to call my campaign tomorrow so I can thank her. This worked! And I have listened to you, and I've learned from you, and I've learned a lot, and from the people of New Hampshire. And you have made me a better candidate, and I thank you for that. I also want to say a special word tonight about Dick Ebhardt. I have been there before. I've lost. I know it is not fun. It's hard. And particularly when you have served your country with as much grace, commitment, and distinction as he has. He is a special public servant, ladies and gentlemen. And all of us, I've worked with him for...
All right, John Kerry, at Kerry Campaign Headquarters in Des Moines. Is he in Des Moines? Commenting on his apparent win and surprising win, I would think, unless one puts an awful lot of stock in the polls. As Kerry just pointed out a couple of days ago, the polls started to flip where it concerned his position in the race in New Hampshire. Or, I'm sorry, in in the caucuses in Iowa. All right. What are your comments on this? Okay? I don't want to hear myself talk about this. What do you have to say? What is your take on Kerry's, to me, surprising win? I have to say I'm surprised, especially that the numbers are as high as they were for Kerry and as low as they are for Dean. And again, this is the Iowa caucus. I don't know how much meaning it has, how much weight it has. I think the one thing that stands out to me, and I have to say this again, is the number of people who turned out, which I see as a good sign. Surely, if nothing else, I don't think Karl Rove gives a tinker's damn who won these caucuses tonight, so to speak. I think what will upset Karl Rove is the fact that so many people participated. So many people have come to the realization that George W. Bush is destroying this country, destroying it internally and destroying our reputation, destroying it externally, that the worst possible thing that could happen to the United States has happened in the past 3 years with this thug, this incompetent, and this horrendous Republican Party in control of everything. And I do believe that that Karl Rove took a look at this tonight and is probably on the phone with these other bastards right now. Bush is asleep, of course, but with the other people who run this government, like Cheney, and trying to figure out, okay, what do we do now? And I'm sure they'll come up with something. There's no doubt in my mind. But it has to shock them to see how many people participated, and the numbers continue to come in. But anyway, tell me what you think. We'd love to hear your take, and so this audience, on what appear to be the results coming in from the Iowa caucuses. And also, you might want to comment on Gephardt's getting out. I don't know if Gephardt is just getting out of the presidential race or getting out of politics altogether. Carl is calling from Chicago, from the South Side. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Yeah, I've been watching this evening. I'll tell you something. Before all this, well, actually before September 11th, when considering who might be running for the Democrats, I thought Kerry would be a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
But then that vote for the war thing, that was a big disappointment,
mm-hmm.
especially with the so-called candidates that were going to, who was thinking about running. They voted safe, and they voted along with Bush on the war thing. And I watched Dean, I'm still standing behind Dean.
Mm-hmm.
I think what they was reporting was that, you have to look at the fact that Dean said so as well. So that, well, yeah, I've been taking a beating from everybody else and the media.
Mm-hmm.
So this was somewhat to be expected. Now I guess it's Kerry's turn to have everybody beat on him, and so we're going to see how this thing works out. But what concerns me, though, there's some positive and negative. The negative to this, especially with with Kerry and Edwards, for me is everyone is saying, well, they had this positive message and this vision for the future and whatnot like that. To me, that's going to fail against George Bush,
mm-hmm.
because I think that's what he wants to run on anyway. His version of his vision for the future. If you mm-hmm. notice, that's all he's been putting out. Tomorrow we're going to get some more of the same stuff. And if they run, a campaign sort of like in that kind of vein, then people are going to say, well, he ain't so bad. We might as well stick with Bush.
Well, let me ask you, how much weight or credence or validity, Carl, do you put on the result of these caucuses tonight? Is that, for example, I'm just broadly speaking here, does this mean it's the end of the Kucinich campaign, the end of the Dean campaign? Obviously, it's the end of the Gephardt campaign. How important are these Iowa caucuses? Remembering that I think the only candidate who's ever won Iowa and New Hampshire went on to win the presidency was Jimmy Carter. So how important is this tonight to you?
Well, I don't see it as being that important just yet, because I'm looking at the fact that the money that Dean has raised is come from just small, ordinary
right.
people
right.
who putting money behind something that they truly believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's, with that kind of support that he has, that's something that's solid. And 'cause they said basically tonight that 3/4 of the people who were, you know, part of this caucus,
mm-hmm.
they supposedly were against the war.
Anti-war, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, what Dean and, I mean, what Kerry and Edwards have done is they've basically moved to Dean's message.
That's what they look at.
Yeah,
sure.
And they
sure.
moved to his message, and while Dean had to try to defend himself, you know, from the media and mm-hmm. from Gephardt and Lieberman and whatnot, they benefit from it. So now we'll see what happens in the next few caucuses. But like I say, the Democrats better understand something. Republicans are cutthroat. They
they'll cut your throat and laugh while you bleed. Let me put you on hold a second. We'll come back and I'll give you another minute as soon as we take this break.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Celebrating the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., listen as we reflect on his words.
With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring.
Thank you, Dr. King, for being the person you were and for what you stood for to make us the people we are today. Your words live on.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Doing talk radio right from the left, it's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're talking with Southside Carl from Chicago. All right, now you're saying Republicans are cutthroat, which absolutely.
Yeah, well, you know.
Now, wait, let me ask you, Carl. You back Dean. You still back Dean, right?
Yeah, I'm still for Dean.
Okay, and a lot of people are. And the question I would have, and this is just between you and me, you know, I'm not on MSNBC or CNN. What happens if Dean doesn't...
I support whoever is the Democrat candidate.
I understand that. But what happens in New Hampshire to Dean if he comes in second or third, or nothing? I mean, it could be nothing. I'm just looking for your impression.
Well, I've always considered the possibility that this thing could go and end up. I could be wrong, but I thought it could possibly end up at convention time, having to be settled there. In other words, that some of these candidates might end up coming to convention mm-hmm. with where no one has the clear majority of the delegates, mm-hmm. and they have to sell it at the convention. Mm-hmm. Now, I could be wrong with how all of that, you know, the mathematics of all that works out, but I know because they pushed the primaries up to try to have a clear nominee mm-hmm. prior to the convention, but that could happen. I think it could. Mm-hmm. And I don't see Dean dropping out, and if Kerry and Edwards do what they're doing, it could be, you know, where no one has. Because I believe Dean's going to get enough delegates. He's going to get some delegates, and it could still be the way. I could be wrong, but that's what I'm thinking. But, I mean, Kerry, even though he's got this war record, I had always thought that in him. When I say that they're cutthroat, his war record wouldn't mean nothing to the Republicans after what they did to Max Cleland. I mean, the guy who lost limbs.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that doesn't mean anything to them, but it would probably mean something to the voting public. Like it or not like it, we in this country tend to look at people who have been in combat differently and more approvingly than people who have not been.
Well, this is what, to me, though, today I think Dean... This is something that he probably needed, and I think it's something that even the party needs too. Is this exercise so that you can be better prepared? Because it was rough. He still came in third. He's still viable and everything mm-hmm. else. So, I think it's a benefit that you done got attacked, you know, from your opponents and from the media, which is what you're going to catch up. Because I don't believe the media is going to criticize Bush that much when November comes around, so you're going to probably be getting it, you know, from the Republicans and the media mm-hmm. When November comes around. Yeah. So I think this has been something that will. Besides, I think that Dean over Kerry and Edwards, I really think that Dean inside has a real bulldog in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, I'm talking about a real fighting kind of bulldog.
Yeah, I hear you.
And I don't think that the Kerry and Edwards have that much fight in them.
Okay. All right, Carl, thanks. From a Dean supporter, Southside Carl. Thanks, Carl.
All right, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Tamara emailed in, I believe that the Dean loss means three things. One, war is not as important as the economy. Two, Dean suffers from the so-called McCain factor. He seems angry and negative. And three, Democrats are wise enough to choose based on who they think can beat Bush. And then Tamara says, another thing I've noted tonight on MSNBC, Buchanan and Scarborough both went into histrionics trying to convince us all that Dean will win. They want Dean to win. Fox did the same thing. That should tell us something. From Tamara. All right, back to your your comments on the Iowa caucuses, keeping in mind that, you know, one attaches the relative importance to these caucuses that one chooses to. If you're Gephardt, they were important enough you get out of the race. If they're Kerry, they have a certain value. If they're Dean or Dean supporters. So we're looking for your take in the last half hour of the program coming up here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A lot of tiny plants in the ocean appear to be growing more slowly as the oceans get warmer. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Plants use carbon dioxide during photosynthesis, but small plants at sea are not using as much carbon dioxide as they did 20 years ago. This change is worth noting because these plants remove huge amounts of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and CO2 is one of the most common of all the greenhouse gases. Watson Gregg is an oceanographer with the U.S. Space Agency NASA. He uses satellite images to study the abundance of small marine plants known as phytoplankton. He says the phytoplankton have less to eat these days, and one reason has to do with water temperature. The temperature of the Earth's atmosphere has risen, and so has the temperature of seawater in the surface of the ocean. The surface water gets lighter as it gets warmer, and that seals off the deeper water that's cold and dense. The cold water carries up nutrients from the depths, and marine plants at the surface need it to survive. Gregg says this means less food for phytoplankton as the temperature of the surface goes up.
The more you warm it, the more of a barrier there is, and that prevents nutrients from getting up, and that tends to sort of starve the phytoplankton, so they can't grow as fast.
Gregg says satellite data indicate that phytoplankton use 6% less carbon dioxide today than they did in the early 1980s. He says the degree of the decline is not necessarily the most important part of the story.
I think the fact that there's a decline at all is probably the bigger thing. I don't know whether I can say that 6% is something particularly noteworthy. You know, it's not small, but the fact that it occurred at all suggests that there's a consistent story here.
Gregg says these results indicate that the use of carbon dioxide by marine plants might be declining as a result of changes in the Earth's climate. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
stop.
A few
more years on them.
No, I'm talking about
Like a tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you believe in truth? Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, Kevin emails in, it doesn't matter who wins in Iowa, vote for your candidate in your state. I'm voting for Kucinich. Ken emails in, I'm listening this evening and wondering how much the group pile-on of the other Democrats hurt Dean's results. What's worse, I wonder how many or how much these negative attacks will come back to haunt the Democratic candidate who runs against Bush. If it is Dean, Bush has already If it is Dean, Bush has ready written material to use to divide Democrats. If it is somebody else, Bush has proof of negative campaigning. They'll call it lack of vision, which is a bunch of bull. Thanks for the show, Ken Hahn. Okay, a couple more comments from y'all via email. And Gizmo, one of our over the road crew, calling from somewhere in around Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Gizmo.
Hi there, Mike. How you been?
Doing fine, sir.
Haven't talked to you in a while. Let me get things out of the way. If I haven't said it, Happy New Year.
Thank you.
And evidently somebody had a birthday.
That was Kathy yesterday.
Okay, well, happy birthday, and congratulations, I understand, is in order.
Yeah, we're looks like August 2nd or August 4th or something. There'll be another Malloy, just what the world
is. Oh, no, not another Republican-hating Malloy.
Another Republican-hating Malloy. There you go. Thanks for all the good wishes, Gizmo.
Let me say hello. I brought you a new listener to my sweetheart over there in Greensboro. Hello, Susan.
Greensboro where? Ohio or South Carolina?
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
hey, listen, as far as this Ohio thing goes, I agree with you. It doesn't mean much. And plus, has anybody thought of the fact that we have a campaign on the Democratic side called Anybody But Bush? They have a they're afraid of Dean. They have a program called Anybody But Dean.
Uh-huh.
And it wouldn't surprise me a bit that these Republicans got into the Democratic caucuses because you do not have to show party affiliation. And they got in there to promote Anybody But Dean.
But don't you think that in the caucus situation, these are neighbors. These are people who know each other. I don't think, Gizmo, there'd be an awful lot of infiltration going on. I kind of like the idea that somebody has put out tonight that what the Democrats are looking for is somebody who right now, this is Iowa caucuses, that right now they feel they can galvanize around somebody that can beat Bush. And Dean is not, yeah, people don't know that much about Dean. As Dean works his way through these primaries, that may change, but he's got to hurry because the Democrats have front-loaded these primaries to the point where by March we know who the candidate's going to be.
Well, either way it goes, I can support Kerry. I can support Edwards. I would much rather see Dean or Kucinich, okay? So if this was a dirty trick by the GOP, they shot themselves in the foot, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But the Iowa caucuses don't mean a hoot right now. The rest of the country is going to let I can't help but think that they're afraid of Dean, because look at the money this guy has raised. Look
right.
At, the interest and the excitement he's brought forth over the Internet.
Right.
I mean, here's my prediction, Mike, and let me say this. I think that any Democrat that takes the nomination is going to beat Bush. And here's my thinking on that. Every state that went Democrat in 2004, I mean, in 2000, will go Democrat again.
Right.
The only state that's going to be a toss-up is Florida. And I don't even think that's going to be a toss-up. I think that's going to go Democrat for sure, because I think the Floridians are mad. They want revenge. They want their vote back. And they're going to give it to any Democrat. It doesn't matter if you're a war hero or if you've had little experience. I think they're going to give their vote to a Democrat in 2004.
That's a good point. Also,
they were cheated. Yeah. They were cheated, and they know it.
And I also think two states that are definitely in play are Tennessee and West Virginia. I think.
Well, you got 11 electoral votes over there in Florida.
Right.
That's a big one.
That's
the one they want. And I think that they made that state mad in 2000. And I think Florida's going to come back with a passion and show that they have a long memory.
I think you're probably right on that one. Gizmo, thank you very much for checking
out. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Drive safely. Appreciate your call. Derek is calling from San Diego. Hey, Derek.
Hey, Mike. Something had occurred to me that I hadn't heard mentioned on the show, really.
Uh-huh.
And that was that, you know, the Clark factor has really not been mentioned.
Well, he opted to stay out of the caucuses in Iowa and focus on...
Well, that's what I mean.
Right.
You think about Kerry's win here. How many things that happened with Kerry's win are really things that aren't going to happen again? He had... and Gephardt, by the way, CNN is reporting that he's going to say he's dropping out tomorrow at noon.
Well, yeah, he's essentially already did. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right.
And that he's Gephardt can only drop out once.
that's very true.
He can only throw his support once.
Yeah.
And that's what happened tonight. I mean, Dean had a strong support base that stayed strong, but all of Gephardt's people went to Kerry and Edwards, and you know you can't. There's nothing you can do in a caucus situation to beat something like that.
Right. Right.
But the thing is, Kerry had to spend a whole lot of money to get here,
mm-hmm.
and he can't maintain that burn rate.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, as soon as Kerry gets into New Hampshire, he's going to run into a brick wall named Clark, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not a Clark fan. I really don't like Clark, but Kerry and Clark are going to be pulling from the same group of voters. The only reason Kerry even had a chance in Iowa was that Clark pulled out. If Kerry and Clark are in the same state, they're splitting the same group of voters that vote based mostly on military service.
Well, if the decision is made mostly on military experience, you're absolutely right. Wesley Clark wins hands down. I mean, my God, he's 4-star Supreme Allied mm-hmm. Commander, and Kerry was a captain.
I think he was a lieutenant.
But I don't think that's necessarily all people look at. You know, everybody bitches and moans about, oh, well, who wants a Washington insider? Well, we all do when you get right down to it.
Somebody who knows the game.
You want somebody who knows the game. So I think in a head-to-head between Kerry and Clark, I think a lot of people are going to look at it that way. They're going to say, okay, they both understand combat. They both...
Exactly. The thing is...
But Kerry has the experience as a leader, as a politician, whatever you want to call it.
He certainly does, and that's why they're going to toss up somewhat, leaving Dean to kind of walk right through with the other people. You think about tonight, Dean, and by the way, Clinton took 3% in the Iowa caucuses in 92.
Is that how low it was?
Yeah, 3%.
Right.
Dean's coming in with 18 or 19%.
Right.
So
now you're a Dean supporter.
I am absolutely a Dean supporter.
Okay. Well, Kucinich got 3%.
Yeah, that was, you know, I like Kucinich. You know, I just
but
he was electable.
Right, okay. God, have I heard that a million times. But anyway, okay,
if
no. It's
everybody
okay.
who wouldn't vote for him would vote for him.
It's okay. So your Dean, so your guy is still, as far as you're concerned, is still going to get the nomination.
You know, it may sound like spin, but I think he may actually right now be in a better position to get the nomination than he was before Iowa.
Why?
Because right now, I mean, he's had the media and all the other candidates dogpiling on him. Now Kerry moves up into the barrel.
That's
you know,
true.
Kerry gets to be the one to take the heat for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And what this does, this raises expectations for Kerry a lot more than I think he can make happen. He doesn't have the money. He doesn't have the resources. But Dean now has a little bit lower expectations. I mean, I think Dean, there was some hype because people were so excited about Dean. I think the hype kind of overstepped the organization a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that dies down a little bit. Now, pretty much anything that Dean does in New Hampshire is going to come off looking like, unless he just bottoms out, which it doesn't look like he will.
Oh, I don't think he'll do that
at
all.
I mean, even if he wins with just a couple of percent, it's going to, he's the comeback kid going into Super Tuesday.
There you go.
You know? But Kerry, now he's in a hard position, and he's going right from here into a state where he's got Clark to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, of course, the other problem is it's New Hampshire is a New England state, and so is Vermont, and so is Massachusetts. This is going to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be very interesting.
I think the real X factor, though, is Edwards, because Edwards is going to play well in the South, and he did surprisingly well tonight, and he's really kind of staying on the outside edge of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Edwards is pulling in a lot of that outsider appeal that Dean thought he had locked up.
That's an interesting point. Hey, thanks, Derek.
Well, thanks, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Trying to get as many of you folks in tonight as possible. I it's too bad we don't have another hour, but we don't. Tony is calling from Waukegan, Illinois. Hey, Tony.
Hey, man.
Hey.
I watched this thing on C-SPAN tonight.
Right.
And one of the things I noticed is I was just looking at the people who were going various places. It was the fact that the Kerry people,
mm-hmm.
they were mostly elderly people. Most of them were older people that I would say they would be in that 50-plus crowd, where the Dean people were in the middle ages and below.
Right.
And I was really happy to see Edwards do as well as he did. Now, keep in mind, I am a Dean supporter,
mm-hmm.
and I am going to support Dean come hell or high water, but I can deal with Edwards. I'm liking Edwards. I can see Edwards being a really good Veep. I can see him being an excellent VP, because whoever gets the nomination, whether it be Dean or Kerry, it's going to be one of those two probably.
can you support Kerry?
Yeah, I can. You know, I'm not going to be as enthusiastic about him as I would Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close. But you know, hell, you know, like I said, anybody but Bush. I can see him, you know, being a guy who's going to help in the South, and we need somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I see him being the perfect VP candidate. I just don't trust Wesley Clark. Wesley Clark is just, you know, he may have been a great general or something, but as a politician, no, I just can't see it. I just think we're setting ourselves up for a disaster. No matter how smart he is, you know, I mean, look, you know, he just doesn't have the gravitas to do that job yet. But
well, there are a lot of Wesley Clark supporters who would vehemently disagree with you, who say that the part of Wesley Clark's appeal is, first of all, he would make such a formidable candidate against Bush.
Candidate, maybe, but he's not going to make a great president. He might going to make a good president. And again, it's because he doesn't know how the game is played well enough. We don't need another figurehead.
Mm-hmm.
We've got one now.
Yeah,
you know, all the Republicans did back in 2000 was talk about, you know, they didn't talk about how great Bush was. They thought, oh, look at who's going to have in his cabinet.
Sure.
You know, look at how great, you know, all these other people are going to be. And it's like, well, I'm not voting for them. I'm voting for the, you know, for the guy who's going to sit in the chair.
Yeah,
it's the same way with Clark. I just don't see him being that strong. Now, Dean, on the other hand, you know, the other man who called from Chicago,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I wish I could get together with him at some point. We could have a great time.
Carl, Southside Carl, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's too far south. But other than that, we both agree on the idea that Dean is a fighter. I mean, this thing, I can tell you, I think, you know, Dean loves playing the role of the outsider. Having finished third is like a godsend for him, because now, you know, all these people who have been, you know, jumping on his bandwagon,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all this stuff, you know, those people are going to fall off a little bit. But then the hardcore supporters are going to get back in, and they're going to work even harder, especially next week.
That's a good point. Let me move on. Tony, thanks a lot.
Take care.
All right, sir. I appreciate you checking in. Seems like mostly what we're getting tonight are Dean supporters, which is fine with me. No problem. Dee is calling from Indianapolis. Hey, Dee, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Oh, this is great. I've been listening to you for several months now and never called in before.
Well, welcome aboard.
First of all, let me thank you for the pink tutu Dem thing.
That comes from Bartop.
That is your, yeah, but no, your radio interpretation of that is so impressive.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you.
I just wanted to say, you know, I watched for the last, like, 4 days, I have been, like, really on edge.
Uh-huh.
I'm a Kucinich supporter.
Right.
In fact, I'm more than a supporter. I seriously work for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't speak for the campaign in any way, shape, or form, but he's the man. He needs to be the next president. He should be the next president.
Well, you know my position on that.
Yes.
Right.
And tonight, I love the way Dennis put it, and I think he really did literally pick up his foot and walk over the bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Iowa's behind him. He's done.
Is that what he said? Because I didn't hear.
Yes.
He said time to move on to New Hampshire. What?
On to New Hampshire.
Right.
On to the next contest.
Mm-hmm.
We just keep going, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and slow and steady, and we're finished.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, I believe that. I really believe that.
Well, that's a good. I think that's a good attitude. I don't think there's anything about Dennis that is facile or pretend something that he's some attitude that he's putting on. You know, that blue collar working class Ohio Democrat thing. Okay, finish that. Time to go. Time to move on to the next task.
Right.
I think that's a good thing. I hope it serves him in New Hampshire. I truly do. As you know, I back Kucinich, and will continue to do so until the Democrats, if they pick a different candidate, then that's who I will back, as long as it's not Joe Lieberman.
Right.
That I couldn't do.
I think we're pretty much close on that one.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, I like Wes Clark. I've met Wes Clark.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's ready to lead the country. I don't see that preparedness. I don't see that planning, that strategy that I would have expected to see from this person.
Well, I'll be curious to see how Wesley Clark does in not just New Hampshire, but also on Super Tuesday in these primaries that that ripple through the South.
Right.
Because much has been made of the fact that, for some because of media, Democrats are tagged as being the party that can't support the military, when in fact the Democrats are the party that, sends presidential candidates and senators and so on and so forth into combat. It's Republicans who duck and hide and are cowardly and run and get little hidey holes. So it'll be curious to see how, for me anyway, to see how Clark does here in the South. Hey, I got to move on. Dee, thank you so much. I hope you call again.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Mike.
You take care. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Scared you for 20-odd years. Then they expect you to pick a career. When you can't really function, you're so full of fear. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. Keep you doped with religion and sex and TV.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
I want everyone to listen up and understand clearly. We need some good weekday programming ideas. I don't know why no one is writing this down.
Oh, geez. Oops.
We need some good weekday programming ideas that will appeal to all angles and opinions of all listeners. Any ideas? Johnson.
Oh, you said the wrong name.
It's Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office. Yeah, get out.
Jeez.
You're an idiot.
Durr.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffen's live.
Oh, come on.
The
best and progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Tomorrow night, of course, is the State of the Union address by too stupid to do anything other than just go home and screw up another oil company. You know who I'm talking about. But military families speak out. That's one group. And Veterans for Peace. That's another group. These are peace groups and faith communities in the D.C. area. They are going to have a prayer vigil tomorrow night on 3rd Street Northwest in Washington, D.C., between Constitution and Independence Avenue, not far from where George W. Bush will give his phony-ass speech. These people will be praying for the 500 American soldiers who have died in Iraq and the estimated 10,000 Iraqi civilians who have died in that war. They will form a human chain of remembrance stretching along 3rd Street between Constitution and Independence. Each person in this chain will bear the name of a soldier who died in Iraq and hold a candle to symbolize the light of that person's life. And along the line will be persons bearing the names of Iraqi civilians as well. This is to bear witness to those lost lives as Bush and his pigs pass by in their dark vehicles on the way to the Capitol. If you want some more information about this, go to the website MFSO, Military Families Speak Out, MFSO.org. Andy, we have very little time left. I'm sorry, but we're just almost out of time. But thanks for calling. What's up?
Hello.
Yes.
Mike, yes. I think it's okay that Kerry came out the name. You know, I wouldn't mind having Kucinich done that. But, you know, remember back, I think the last time we went through this was 92.
Mm-hmm.
There were five or six candidates, Tsongas, Simon, Harkin, mm-hmm. Jerry Brown, and Bill Clinton, and I think there were six, and I can't remember the six, but anyway, the scummiest one of the bunch was Bill Clinton. He was just awful, and I knew that he was going to be the president. It was just terrible. This time around, maybe you could paint Lieberman that way, but John Kerry's not scummy,
mm-hmm.
And I think it's excellent. And the man's a statesman. Now, look, there's only one guy in the whole crowd of them who, as a fellow member of Skull and Bones, could say to Bill,
George Bush,
the idiot.
Yeah, and that would be and that would be John Kerry.
That's right.
That's right. Hey, listen, Andy.
You're a deserter.
That's right. He could. Thanks, Andy. I'm sorry to cut you off, pal. We're just out of time. Tomorrow night we'll cover Bush's State of the Union. Tune in for that. Catherine Bay produced the program here in Atlanta. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. Thanks to our militant moderators at MikeMalloy.com for maintaining order. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, and Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. I'll see you tomorrow night, y'all. I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. No more lies, no more.
On Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive